Welcome to the 2023 series of the Property Report podcast by Property Guru. We have been exploring the latest trends this year surrounding the real estate industry across different markets in Asia. This special episode is brought to you by HLB, the official supervisor of Property Guru Asia Property Awards. For this episode, we will talk about the impact of foreign investment on Asia's property market. Please welcome our guests for today, Mr. Eddie Guillemette, CEO Midori Noki, or M&K, and Chairperson Greater Niseko Japan Judging Panel. Next is Mr. Paul Ashburn, Co-Managing Partner, HLB Thailand, member of HLB International Real Estate Group, the official supervisor of the award series. Hello, gentlemen, and great seeing you. To begin this exciting topic, please tell us, what are some of the key factors that attract foreign investors to your respective property markets and Asian property market?
I'll start with talking about Thailand, where I'm based. I mean, there's so many key features. So I'm like, where to start? Obviously, it's value for money, the lifestyle, and the famous Thai culture that attracts foreign investors to Thailand. There's also the access to the wide range of services at affordable prices. And then there's just the abundance of choices in terms of location and types of accommodation available. So it really comes as no surprise that Thailand is arguably the largest market for holiday homes in the region. And in short, it's just more fun in Thailand.
Well said. By contrast, Niseko is quite different because it's in Japan. It's in the northern island of Hokkaido, but yet it's very unique in that it's not fully Japanese in the sense that there is a lot of foreign investment here. It has become its own destination in terms of being an international ski resort, whereas the rest of Japan has the unique Japanese culture, and Niseko certainly has a lot of that. But because of the infrastructure that's been put in here to cater to skiers and snowboarders from all over the world, Niseko has really found its spot with foreign investors through that combination of being an amazing place to ski and also an amazing destination in its own right due to the food and in Japanese culture.
Gentlemen, how does foreign investment impact property prices and demand in your markets? And what are the potential implications for local buyers and investors?
That's a great question, Tina. I think what I find in Thailand is that often the property sold or preferred by foreigners are in different segments to Thai buyers. For example, we do a lot of work in resort areas like Phuket and Samui. And so they're kind of like a market within a market. It's a bit like Niseko there. Where with the foreign interest, it's the same here. So typically it'll be foreigners buying landed properties or say condominiums, but then perhaps on resale also again selling to foreigners. And I would say that when you're profiling the foreigners investing in these areas, they're often coming with cash. They can't take mortgages over their properties. And so they're often very resilient in the face of economic crisis or uncertainties. For locals, well, I'd say the benefits there are, they are in these areas that attract foreign investment. It's particularly good if you're a landowner. And you do see that at the moment, for example, in Phuket, where land prices are rising again and transactions are going on after COVID. And also it's good for business owners in the area that can benefit from the foreign clientele.
Yeah, we have a lot of similarities with what you just said, because it is a market within a market. Most of the buyers are foreigners when it comes to things like landed property, like the condominiums, but the spill-on effect for the local investors, the local Japanese property owners and even people from Tokyo is that, like you said, their businesses, because many of the businesses here are Japanese run, they have gone up in value. Land prices continue to go up, and that has been a trend in Niseko really for the last 23 years. Land prices have gone up pretty much every year. But we are finally seeing this past year, we've seen more Japanese investors wanting to buy similar properties that foreign investors have bought, because there are more things to do here, because Niseko is now not just a ski holiday destination, but there's, you know, summer is wonderful for golf, there's zip lining, there's rafting, there's all sorts of things to do outside of just the winter season. And there's all these great restaurants and a nicer climate, perhaps, than central Tokyo or central Osaka. So yeah, finally, we're starting to see more Japanese buyers, which is very positive for our market.
And that's the result of the initial foreign investment, I guess.
It's a cycle. You know, Years ago, we did not see Japanese investors, but because there are more things to do, because there is wonderful Park Hyatt Hotel and amenities, that cater to both Japanese and international tourists, we're seeing more Japanese buyers.
Paul, it sounds like it's more fun in Niseko. For the third question, gentlemen, are there any regulations or policies in place that govern or restrict foreign ownership of real estate?
Yes, there are. I mean, I think as is common in many countries, they generally limit foreign ownership of land. And so if you're looking at landed properties, a foreigner may look instead to set up a Thai company or to take a long-term lease of the land. But then there's no restriction on the foreign ownership of the villa building itself. And this is particularly an area that we work in the resort areas, how to structure appropriate ownership structures that are legally sound and financially sound. When it comes to condominiums, that's one area where it's very clear foreigners can own condominium units. They can obtain a title deed in their name. And also when it comes to condominium, when transacting condominiums, when you deal with a developer, there is the Consumer Protection Act that stipulates the terms and conditions in the contract. So foreign investors can feel confident that the contract they're being provided is fairly drawn up.
Yeah, that's quite useful. And to contrast, finally, with what you're saying, Niseko is completely different in that landed properties can be bought by foreigners. There's very few, if any, foreign ownership restrictions here. Almost all of the land is freehold, which is also attractive. And that has been a source of interest, so people can park their money in a place like Niseko and just land bank, and the holding costs are not that high as compared to some other countries where the property taxes are much higher. So that has definitely helped foreigners become comfortable with Japan, and Niseko is, you know, just sort of follows on. Niseko is not unique. Most of Japan is freehold property, and there are very few foreign ownership restrictions. There are a couple. So when it comes to farmland and for land that has water rights and land that's above a certain size, usually it's 10,000 square meters, there is there's an approval process. Farmland is very difficult to obtain, but for the average person looking to buy land to build a house, there's practically no foreign ownership restrictions.
Now, how does foreign investment influence the development landscape, and what types of properties are most commonly targeted by foreign investors?
As I said before, Thailand's arguably the largest market for holiday homes in the region, and it has so many attractive and well-known locations. So if we start with the capital city, Bangkok, you'll see there that typically foreigners are looking to buy a condominium unit or an apartment. And the trend in the recent years is also been very at the luxury end and helping to satisfy the supply that's been in the market. If we look outside of Bangkok, within driving range, there are resorts towns of Pattaya and Hua Hin. And there you'll find, in addition to condominiums that are typically seaside, you will find also residential developments that are focused on mainly foreign residents. And if we go down south, where we have the islands of Samui and Phuket, they're also synonymous with very unique and luxury villa developments. So, you know, we have a whole range of accommodation areas that you want to go. You want to go to be in the city. You want to be by the seaside. Now, if the beach is not your cup of tea, then you can head north instead to the hills like Khao Yai and Chiang Mai, where again, you can find both apartment style and landed properties. So I think Thailand, as I said, has a lot to offer everyone that comes to Thailand, whether they want to be in a resort area or they just want to be in a quiet part of town, then there's something for everyone.
As Will said, and we have a similar story here where we provide and Niseko offers a wide range of both landed property, condominiums, raw land. You can buy old farmhouses, you can buy on the mountain, you can buy in the forest and everywhere in between. If you asked what, you know, is the most popular or most common, we have seen more land banking than in previous years. There are quite a few new condominium projects on the market, and some stock that is being sold as well. So there probably is a bit more supply of condominiums than in the past. But in terms of the breadth of opportunities, sure, there's land in house, there's luxury, there's entry level. You can still buy property in Japan for less than $100,000 for a house, which is incredible. Of course, it's not right next to the mountain, the ski mountain, but there is a wide range of opportunities up in Niseko, and I think that's why it is so popular.
Moving forward, gentlemen, what potential scenarios or trends can we anticipate in foreign investment within your respective markets?
Okay, so I'm looking at my crystal ball here. And I'd say Thailand, and this is particularly happening pre-COVID, right? So that Thailand, you know, relies a lot on tourism. So with the event of COVID, really made an impact on the economy. With the fact tourists couldn't visit here and affected a lot of the resort areas. So coming out of COVID, they're very keen to attract foreigners, but they're now focusing on attracting foreigners as long-term residents to boost revenues and stimulate the economy. So at the end of last year, they launched a long-term resident visa program. And the focus is on attracting wealthy citizens, pensioners, remote workers, and highly skilled professionals. So you're seeing, you know, with the advent of remote working and all the supporting technologies that I've seen this particularly, is that foreigners now inquiring to relocate to Thailand and continue operating their business or their employment from Thailand. And typically, nearly every inquiry is about Phuket. I want to be in Phuket, you know, on the beach, coconut trees, living the dream. The other trend I see is coming from the aging population of Thailand, but also other Asian countries. So there's a focus on wellness, healthcare, and, you know, well-designed facilities catering to the older age groups. And Thailand's particularly attractive in this area, but it is well known for its international standard of medical services. And we do see now developers now seriously focusing on this segment, and I expect that to continue in the future.
Yeah. It's very similar story here, other than the long-term residents. So wellness as a luxury is something that developers have been incorporating into their Niseko developments. And that's a very positive sign. And there is definite interest among buyers in that. So that is an emerging trend. In terms of Japan welcoming in, you know, remote workers and long-term residents, that's still a work in progress. So, you know, fingers crossed that that does continue to progress. There is some movement there, but it's still quite difficult. We certainly have a number of people asking us if they can relocate to Japan, but there are rules and it's quite a bit more difficult than Thailand, for example. But the other trend, which I mentioned earlier, was certainly people buying land and being more comfortable moving. We see a progression. People will come to Niseko, they'll stay in a hotel. Then maybe their first purchase will be a condo, you know, near-ish to the mountain or maybe right on the mountain. And then they'll sell that, they'll make some money, and then over time, they'll be more comfortable with buying a home with some land because land tends to go up quite a bit more, while an apartment over time is going to depreciate generally. So we see one of the trends we see is more people being comfortable buying land in-house. And then, yeah, I think in terms of resales, we are seeing people willing to move a little bit further away. So that's another trend. Whereas when I first came to Niseko 23 years ago, everyone wanted to be within walking distance of the ski lifts, but that's obviously not practical. And so, you know, an emerging trend is people very comfortable driving 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes to the ski resort is really very manageable and very doable, and is certainly something that people do in other parts of the world, Europe, the United States, North America, et cetera. But in Japan, it's been, oh, I need to be very close. And people are just getting comfortable with that. And there's discounts and there's value to be had if you're willing to drive 20 minutes.
Paul, Eddie, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge regarding the impact of foreign investment on Asia's property market. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Property Report podcast by Property Guru. Once again, this special episode is brought to you by HLB, the official supervisor of Property Guru Asia Property Awards. And we have more exciting topics lined up, so stay tuned for the next ones. For more information, visit asiapropertyawards.com. See you then.